Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back here on 790 The Ticket, Zach Duarte taking you up until 10 o'clock tonight. Talking a lot of football, obviously after a football weekend, Dolphins and Hurricanes, but joining us now in the Orion Fuel and Downstairs Convenience Stores guest lines, they are truly steps beyond convenient. Covers the Canes for 24/7 sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Andrew_Ivins. Andrew, what's going on this evening? Thank you so much for joining. And tell me, you are basking in the tears of UCF fans, as am I.
I was just giving my buddies talking some trash about it, but I'm glad that we don't need that narrative anymore. I mean, I think it's buried somewhere up that makes the playoffs.
Yeah, look, I am very happy about it, but obviously we have to focus on our own team, the Miami Hurricanes, and they struggled mightily against Central Michigan. I know they want to put a positive spin on it, a win is a win, but Manny Diaz said it best when he gave his introductory statement after the game, was that was their fourth best performance this year, and that's concerning. You're supposed to get better every week, and the Miami Hurricanes, it seems like they took two giant steps backwards.
Well, I mean, that's as close as a win to like a loss, if that makes sense. I mean, just leaving that game, that wasn't supposed to happen. I mean, Miami was favored by, I think, 4 or 5 touchdowns, you know, 30 points. Central Michigan went 1-11 last year. They don't have a bunch of really talented guys. Miami just, I don't know, it was the same three issues that have plagued this team all season, really. I mean, the offensive line was terrible, especially when you're playing a group of five opponent. You should be able to dominate that front. They weren't able to do that. There was some misuse on special teams. I mean, backs have missed a field goal, then have a chance to come back and get it and kick it, but they also had a punt block. Then you had the penalties, and they really struggled with their 13 penalties. I mean, Miami right now, I think, is 128 in the country with 39 penalties this season. Northwestern had 40 all of last season. I think 14 games, so it's bad.
It's like the penalties, I mean, two games, I mean, really, it's been 39 penalties in 4 games. I mean, you can't win football games like that, and I'm sure some of those calls probably could have gone the other way, but this is a young football team, and there's just so many timely penalties. The offensive line, I think that's going to be a major issue moving forward. I mean, they look great against Bethune-Cookman, but they simply were overpowered by Central Michigan, which leads me to believe that this is going to be an issue throughout the season because the defensive lines are only going to get better.
Talking to Andrew Ivins here, joining us on the guest line here on 790 The Ticket. He covers the Canes for 24/7 sports. Look, the silver lining out of the first 4 games is that the Miami Hurricanes seem to maybe have the best quarterback that they've had in a very long time. Jaren Williams, he's been accurate despite the offensive line issues. He still hasn't thrown an interception, even though there's a couple that could have been picked in the last couple of games. But, hey, they've got a quarterback now.
They do. They just got to find some protection from him. I mean, Jaren, when he is not under pressure, has been pretty lights out. I mean, he's as efficient as they can be of a thrower. I mean, he doesn't really make any bad decisions. I do agree maybe 1 or 2 passes could have been intercepted against the Chippewas, but when he has time, he can deal the football. They just, I think, need to put him in better situations to succeed, if that makes sense. I mean, these long play-action plays, especially when you're backed up, in your own red zone aren't really working. You're right. The silver lining is Miami does have a quarterback. It's just are they? When are they going to be able to really unleash him and let him get the ball to his weapons? Because right now it seems like almost every other snap there's a guy right in his face.
Okay, but so Andrew, what do they do about this? This is what I was saying in the first segment. Like, people want to do the easy thing and blame the coaching. But to me, when I see Zion Nelson literally just not being present and letting the left or the defensive end of Central Michigan buy him two times in a row, like, what is my okay? Obviously, you can line up a tight end out there, or you can chip with the running back. But what are they supposed to do? Like, this is just the hand that they've been dealt with for this year, and they gotta hope that this offensive line gets better, and maybe that they get a big recruit or two on the offensive line.
It is. I mean, it's not the NFL. They can't cut someone. They can't go sign someone. They can't trade for someone. You're right. This is what they have. This is the hand they've been dealt, and we can go into a whole deep dive on that. I mean, back in 2016, they signed one offensive lineman. That offensive lineman, Trey Johnson, no longer with the program. 2016, those guys are supposed to be your seniors right now, you know, your leaders. And Miami doesn't have any of those guys. So, yes, the roster situation on the offensive line has been very bad. I will say on the point you make about maybe getting a tight end in there, against Central Michigan, I looked. According to Pro Football Focus, Brevin Jordan and Will Mallory only pass blocked on five plays. And I know those guys are dangerous in the receiving game, but it seems like why weren't they – if they knew Central Michigan's defensive line was going to give them issues, why didn't they try to put more bodies in there to kind of give Jaren Williams some time? So I don't know what they do. I thought it was real interesting in the second half. They kind of rotated some guys. Zion Nelson came out of the game. John Campbell went in. Then they pulled Ja'Kai Clark and shifted DJ Scape to right guard. I don't know. They got a bye week to figure this out. My immediate fix and maybe quicker reads like we saw against North Carolina for Jaren Williams. I mean, and just see if you can keep rotating bodies until you find five that works. Because we thought after the Bethune game and the North Carolina game that starting five was the answer, and it doesn't look like that's the case.
In terms of the defense, a great performance. They didn't give up two of those points, but a lot of penalties, as Manny Diaz said, on third down and even on downs that were plays leading up to a third down. A lot of dumb penalties, as Manny Diaz called it this morning, selfish penalties that extended drives or kept them on the field. This seems to be kind of a little bit of a theme throughout the beginning of the season on both sides of the ball with these penalties. How concerning is this as the Canes go into conference play in 2 weeks?
Very concerning. Like I said, I mean, they're 128th in the country right now in penalties. They're the most penalized team in Power 5 football, and I think that comes down to coaching. At the end of the day, I really do, and Manny kind of hinted at this, I think, after the game, and he hinted at it again on Monday. You know, he felt like their Wednesday practice was lackluster, or it was the first Wednesday practice they had because it was so bad on Monday or Tuesday. I don't know what they do, but it's going to be an issue. It's just as big of an issue, I think, as the kicking game. I mean, I think moving forward, Miami's going to be in some dogfights. And when you're shooting yourself in the foot, that doesn't normally help out these close games. So I don't know what they do. I mean, you got David Feely, the strength coach. Maybe you have him run more gassers, but it certainly needs to be addressed here before they play Virginia Tech next Saturday.
Well, that's another thing. You brought up the kicking situation there. We saw Bubba Baxham miss another field goal before it was – I think there was a penalty on Central Michigan that extended that drive. I mean, look, I'm going to be honest with you. I was having this conversation last week about things I wanted to see against Central Michigan, and the first thing I said was Camden Price, and I'm dead serious. Like, you need to see another kicker in there at some point, and it can't be against Virginia Tech. That's a game that's going to be close the entire time. You need to see – look, I know it may be a little bit of an overreaction, but Bubba Baxter has not been good in his year and four games now. You need to see if somebody else can kick the football.
I think he's 5 of 9, but he should be 4 of 9. I mean, he missed a 27-yarder. I think now that would have been his third miss inside of 20 yards or inside of 30 yards this season. I wrote last week about Camden Price just because he was a guy that's on the roster. I mean, he's the walk-on. He's out of Maryland. I talked to his kicking coach and got to take it with a grain of salt. I mean, these kicking coaches aren't really going to talk bad about their guys that they, you know, coach up and produce. It's kind of like with quarterbacks, but he made it a point to keep bringing up that he felt like Camden's very accurate inside of 45 yards. He says, Bubba's got a huge leg and he's great on kickoffs, but Camden's pretty accurate inside those 40 yards. So why doesn't Miami try to give this Camden kid a chance on the short yardage and then have Bubba kick the long ones? I mean, he hit the 50-yarder against North Carolina and handle kickoffs. I mean, you just got to change something. The special teams have been pretty bad. They had the punt blocked. There's been some coverage breakdowns. Go back to the Florida game. They were not prepared for that fake punt. I mean, guys were still getting onto the field. So I think losing Todd Hartley, when they didn't retain him, has really hurt the special teams.
Well, the one bright spot there, and I was just talking about this when we were trying to reconnect with you, is Lou Headley. He's been able to flip field position where I think it was Feagles wasn't able to do it last year. And look, I know he had that one block punt. This is a learning thing for him too. But when you have an offense that can't block anybody and can't extend the drive, is going three and out, it's nice to have somebody who can flip the field position in 50 or 60 yards.
Oh, he's awesome. I think he's as good as advertised. I mean, this is what they needed. He's only going to get more confident. I think maybe initially, playing in that huge game against Florida was a little bit difficult. Like you said, I think that was just a mistake when he got blocked against Central Michigan, but he's been excellent. I love that rugby style, kind of how he holds onto the ball, lets your guys get down there. And we haven't really seen a fake out of it yet, so I think there's going to be some possibilities there. But, yes, he has been very good, and kudos to the previous staff for addressing that issue and finding a guy who, for the most part, has been able to produce and flip the field.
Well, I want to go back to the kicker there, just based off of something you said. They obviously I think they have the number one recruit at kicker in 2021, but if this keeps going with Bubba Baxter, do they try and find somebody next year for next year?
I think you got to. I mean, it's a mental thing. Let's go back to last season when Zach Feagles was when he was struggling. He was shanking punts. I think it was like the sixth game, that Florida State game, when they finally gave Jack Spicer a chance to kick, and then they realized, hey, we're going to go find a junior college punter. So I think junior college kickers are a little bit more difficult to find. I mean, there's no like Pro Kick Australia that's putting these kids at JUCOs, but I do think a graduate transfer is certainly a possibility. At the end of the day, you got to make the kicks. Like, you're going to school to make these kicks, and if it's a mental thing, it needs to be addressed because it's going to cost Miami games, and it really already has.
Andrew, you're hot on the recruiting trail. This is a bye week for Miami, maybe a little bit more active in recruiting. So what are the Canes up to on the recruiting trail?
Well, I think priority number one right now is I got to fix what's going on with the team. In years past, there's been some coaches that have stuck out a little bit early during that bye week, but I think they're going to stay pretty local just because they got to fix what's going on tape. And I don't think, there's no need for Dan Enos to fly out to the West Coast to see a junior quarterback throw, and they got to figure out what's going on with this offensive line. So Miami had a few unofficial visitors this past weekend at Hard Rock Stadium, but just given kind of how the season has gone, I think this is really going to turn into, can Miami hang on to what they have committed? And I think for the most part, aside from maybe two or three guys, they should be able to, but I don't know. It's just that 5-point win over Central Michigan doesn't really inspire much confidence moving forward. So if it comes to recruiting, it's going to be about really keeping this class together.
How confident are you about this team? I know this is a wild statement, but just based off of last week, based off of what we saw against UNC, and then seeing UNC lose back-to-back weeks against Wake Forest and then App State, how confident are you that Miami gets to 6 or 7 wins?
I mean, I think they can get to 6 wins, but like I said, I just think every game moving forward is going to be a battle. I mean, how do they fix the offensive line? Like, I don't understand. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, they have Cleveland Reed leaving. I mean, they've had two offensive linemen leave since they started preseason camp. I don't know. I mean, I think there's good pieces in certain places. I think they can get to 6 wins, but I was texting my coworker David Lake. I was like, does Miami beat Central Michigan if Shaq Quarterman and Michael Pinckney weren't there? I don't think so. I mean, that's just kind of the reality right now. This team's got a lot of issues, and I just don't know how much they're going to be able to fix throughout the course of the season. So it'll be interesting. I think they can get to 6, but I do not feel confident about 8-9 wins anymore.
What's going on with Zach McLeod here?
Dude, I don't know, man. This is mind-boggling to me. I mean, we kind of brought up that theory that, hey, maybe they should redshirt him. I get it. You play him against North Carolina and Florida. I mean, who knows? You could be 4-0 right now, and looks like you're going to be in the college football playoff conversation. But Miami's not. I'm starting to believe that maybe the staff really hadn't considered redshirting him until it was brought up to them. I mean, why did they not play him against Central Michigan? Manny told the reporters in the media last week that he's a necessity and not a luxury, and then you don't play him against Central Michigan? I mean, not even on special teams. I mean, that's according to the team's participation report and the snap counts on Pro Football Focus. I mean, he might have been out there, but I didn't see him. So I just, why would you play him against Bethune and not Central Michigan? And then especially Manny came into the post game and he said, hey, my linebackers played 84 snaps. It's like, well, you said you had this other guy that you could have played. So I don't know. That's an interesting storyline to follow. And it's got me really puzzled, I should say.
You can follow Andrew on Twitter at Andrew_Ivins. Covers the Canes for 24/7 Sports. Check out his work there, Andrew. Appreciate the time, man, and I'll see you out either at practice or at the next game against Virginia Tech, all right?
Sounds good, man. Enjoy the bye week, and I apologize for my poor connection again.
Oh, no. That's fine, man. It happens all the time. No sweat. Thank you, Andrew.
Hi. Sorry there. Bye.
All right. Appreciate it. Again, that's Andrew Ivins, 24/7 Sports. Check out a lot of good stuff, man. If you follow me, Andrew's one of the few people I subscribe to on Twitter. Like, I get every tweet he sends out, I get that updated right to my phone just so I can stay up to date. He's got a lot of good stuff out there on the recruiting trail. They got that crystal ball over there at 24/7 Sports trying to see where these recruits are going. So good stuff there from Andrew Ivins.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.